COVID was a really very good example. You know, like a lot of things that used to work just didn't work right now. And then people had to really adapt to the change of career, change of environment, you know, pick up new skills. But that is life, right? Because that is when everyone realized that, you know, it's something that we have to adapt. We have to change.
Hello, beautiful one, and welcome back to another episode on the Good Life Podcast with me, Noor.
And me, Nizi Wahid.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. If you are new to the channel, a warm welcome to you. And if you have been tuning in for a while now, thank you so much for your commitment in learning and growing with us. It has been such a pleasure having you journey with us on this self-discovery journey called life.
We hope that we can continue to be your partner in your personal development journey. We hope that you learn how to love yourself better, care for yourself better, and continue to grow as a successful individual in your own right, as well as to be able to achieve all the aspirations that you set for yourself.
Absolutely. And you know what, you guys? We have a series of exciting podcast episodes lined up just for you, where we'll be covering topics on, you know, career development, upgrading, discovering your strengths, your passion, and ways to really get that drive to achieve all of your goals in life.
Yeah, so we're excited with this new collaboration that we have with Workforce Singapore, a stat board under the Ministry of Manpower. They are a government body that helps individuals like myself meet their career aspirations, secure quality jobs, and strengthen inclusiveness of workforce in the face of rapid change.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Workforce Singapore, for sponsoring this episode. So let's get into it, right? So today's episode, it's all about exploring the key steps in building, you know, your career resilience in times of uncertainty, right? And you know what? We all know how the landscape of employment, it's constantly changing. It has changed so much just, you know, within this past year, right? You know, especially with the onset of the pandemic, you know, and that means, you know, people requiring to upgrade their skill sets, right? Requiring, like, you know, a whole new different shift in terms of how they, you know, see the world out there.
That's true. How they function, you know, everything changes. The way people consume things, content, the way they learn, the way they experience things, everything has changed so much. And for those who are thinking like, you know what, we're just going to sit this one out, and then when the pandemic is over, everything's going to go back to normal again. Well, guess what? I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon. So it's so important that we actively look for ways to upskill, upgrade ourselves, to be better, to be ready for the future economy, not just for today.
Absolutely. And you know what? Even if I feel that the pandemic, it has, like, you know, settled down and things in a way go back to quote and unquote normal, I feel that even then, you know, things will change in terms of how we do business. Things will change in terms of how companies will operate. You know, back then, people, there's a, you know, high need for people to go to office physically to have meetings or even travel to places physically to get work done. But, you know, look at how things have changed, right?
You know how I see it is that even, let's imagine a world without COVID, okay? Well, that's going to take a while to imagine. But let's imagine it for a while. I was already anticipating that things were going to change so fast, so rapidly, right? But with COVID, everything just got accelerated. Like everything just changed a lot quicker. And so it's not really about whether we need to upgrade ourselves or not. It's about when are we going to get going.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you guys, we have a special guest on the show with us today, you know, who will be sharing with y'all his life experiences, you know, his career journey. And, you know, he is none other than my beautiful brother.
So does your brother have a name, Noor?
Yes. He is called Ahmad.
Not so beautiful, but thanks. I'm glad that.
You're beautiful in my eyes.
Right.
Sibling love. Okay. So Ahmad, thank you so much for joining us today. So perhaps, Noor, would you like to you know, I don't know, is there another way apart from beautiful brother that you want to just quickly introduce Ahmad, and then we're going to pass it to him to tell us a bit more what he does?
Sure. You know, when I saw this topic, right, about building career resilience in times of uncertainty, you know, I thought about my brother because, you know, he is an entrepreneur himself today, right? He has a number of businesses that he has embarked on, and, you know, I admire a whole lot, you know, his level of dedication, his perseverance, his commitment to the stuff that he does, right? I think that the level of energy and enthusiasm he has is like, oh my God, you know, I think if I were to do the stuff that he does, it's probably gonna, like, you know, wear me out a lot. So, you know, I feel that he is someone who is able to share, you know, his bits of wisdom, you know, with our listeners out there. And I'm sure, you know, the episode will bring about, you know, great content for people to take away, to take down notes, and hopefully will help them as well, you know, in them figuring out how to, you know, be a more resilient them, you know, especially when we are going through great times of uncertainty.
Wow, what an introduction, Ahmad.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
Ahmad. Thanks. So boobs, right?
Thanks for making me sound like Jeff Bezos.
So, Ahmad, maybe for a start, to introduce yourself to our listeners, maybe share with us a bit about how you got into business in the first place and what kind of industries are you mainly in?
Okay, well, how I exactly got into business was mainly my dad. I think growing up in, like, a very entrepreneurial kind of environment where, you know, he basically always says, you know, hey, you know, you got to try to create something, you know, disrupt the market, be something different. You know, so that kind of always drives me to do something on my own. But I mean, it only nurtured me probably towards the later stage after when I got my degree. You know, I mean, back then, before that, I probably still think about you know, having fun, you know, where to travel, where to do, like, the next adventure. But mainly because I think my dad did put me in an environment where he always focuses a lot on self-development and basically, you know, try to do something on your own so that it kind of change the world, you know, that kind of thing. So how it started off, I think mainly my main industry, I would say it's in F&B, but I do have different kind of industries that I dabble in, like in logistics and the automotive industry as well. And then recently, I'm also looking towards the art and craft kind of thing.
So that's a bit of everything.
Yeah, it's everything. Yeah, it's basically everything that I try to get my hands on.
At which age did you get started?
I think I would say 25, perhaps 25. But back then, I think I had, like, all this kind of ideas that I wanted to do that had, like, relations to, like, this industry and stuff like that. But I think at the end of the day, it's because I had so much distractions. I mean, I wouldn't say being young was an excuse, but because at that age, I had more important things to do other than doing business, right? Because I didn't really have to have that kind of responsibility at that, at that time. Yeah, so I would say only when I reached about 24, 25, that's where I started to feel like I needed to do something. Yeah.
It's really cool, man. Yeah. So how would you describe very quickly, like, the landscape of the business world right now, post COVID-19? Like, how did you deal with it, and how do you see the future being like?
I think for how COVID did affect us, I think in general is that it taught us how to actually adapt, you know, how to adapt to the situation. Because I think if you're not in a position where you are able to foresee, I mean, I'm pretty sure no one actually foresee this. I don't think anyone wanted this to happen as well. But I think it comes to a point where if you're able to actually adapt to the situation, you know, and then that's where you probably will make it alive. I mean, it's a very harsh thing to say, but it's true, you know. So I think over the year, a lot of things had changed, and a lot of things that people felt that cannot be done has been done.
Yeah.
You know, I think, like, what you guys mentioned was, like, working from home and that kind of thing, you know. So I think it's all about adapting, and it's all about, you know, like resilience to this kind of changes. Yeah.
So would you say that your dad is the first mentor, so to speak?
Yeah, as in definitely it's someone that you want to look
at. Somebody who sparked your interest in entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it's, you know, when, because, I mean, the ideology of having a figure, like a mentor figure, especially if you're dad, someone to look up to, right? You know, having, like, this person that's very independent, you know, able to take care of a family. So it kind of gives you the feeling of like, look, that's someone that I want to be like, or be someone greater when I'm married or when I have kids or when I have my own family, right? So that's something that basically drives me the most when it comes to the reason why I want to get into business.
Yeah. And I think you talked about, you know, having that first touch point, right? Being daddy, being like, you know, the mentor to kind of, you know, give you that idea in terms of what sort of direction you should be embarking on in the future ahead. And I feel that point is so true, and especially when we are starting out, you know, you just being fresh out of school, right? And I'm sure you're like, okay, what to do with my life? And having that mentor there to guide you, and especially, you know, dad being someone who has been in the scene for the longest time, right, in the business scene, you know, it really helps you a lot in terms of what to look out for, what to do, what not to do. And I think this brings me to the point on, you know, an initiative that Workforce Singapore has, right, and it's called the Career Advisory and Guidance Initiative. And I think this is a brilliant initiative that really helps people out there, right, who are looking for, you know, a professional to talk to gain industry insights, career advice, in terms of even discovering, you know, what are your passion points, your strengths, your weaknesses, right? These are the people that, you know, the listeners out there can actually approach and talk to, because there are dedicated, you know, career connect out there where people can just walk in, right? Talk to someone.
Paya Lebar, Tampines, Woodlands.
Yeah. And I think it's really convenient. And I think the best part, it's no cost. It's free of charge, right? You get free advice at no charge at all.
Amazing. And these places are actually available in Paya Lebar, Tampines and Woodlands. You could also visit the SG United Jobs and Skills Centres across 24 HDB towns as well. And alternatively, please do also check out their website, sgunitedjobsandskills.sg, for all the relevant information you need.
Yeah, so do check it out. And Ahmad, you know, I was just thinking, when, you know, you were starting out in your entrepreneurship journey, right? Was there like a particular, you know, area? Because you see, there's so many different industries that you could actually go into, right? So how do you know what would be the thing that you would be, you know, passionate about in doing business in?
There isn't actually something that's very directive for me from the start, but I'm not really very sure why I chose F&B. And I don't really know why I had the impression that F&B was easy to begin with. So that was something I was like, you know what, I'm going to just try to set up an F&B place. It could be it was supposed to be a cafe from the start, but then prior to that, I had like a lot of meetings with friends, and they say like, you know, managing a cafe isn't that easy. So then I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe I try something out with like a takeaway kiosk. So how the first business started was just trying to scroll through like social media to see what's like the next viral thing that's happening. So I happened to stumble across this like huge cake. It's like this Castella cakes, right? Jiggly cakes that was based in like Korea and Taiwan. So everyone was just like going crazy over it. So I mean, just coincidentally, one of my friend was heading there, so he managed to get like a few contacts, and then like a few months later, we went down to check out and meet the principal for the brand. So I mean, other than that, it's just history, lor.
Oh my god. Yeah. You know, I remember when you actually started out that that business Castella cake, right? There was like, it's those huge craze, you know, people just, you know, lining up and just wondering like, what's the jiggly cake all about? And it was all over Instagram. How was that overwhelming response like for you? Especially, you know, it's your first business and boom, right? It just exploded in a good way.
it was fun, you know, like it was tiring, because mainly most of the time we were at the store, you know, so I don't really have an exact expression of what I was really feeling. But I mean probably like a gist of it would probably feel like a self-actualization, that kind of feeling, but like, oh look, you know, finally you know, doing this is what I wanted. You know, but the bad thing about that is because like I felt that, hey, you know what, opening FME is so easy, you know. And then after that, you know, we did other brands after that, and we felt like, okay, it's not so challenging, because we were just in a way very lucky with this brand, with this thing that we brought in. So I mean, over time we did build up ourselves and figure out like, you know, it isn't as easy as just bringing a brand or starting a brand and putting it in the market and just like snap, you know, like it just starts to pick off. So I mean, it was a very good experience, I would say. Yeah, a very good experience.
What were some of the specific roadblocks that you encountered? Maybe a bit later, right? Initially, everything looked good and easy. But especially when you started going into other types of F&B businesses, I'm sure there were many other challenges. Was, you know, manpower one of the challenges? Was, you know, managing staff and people, was that a challenge, among other things?
Yeah, I think in the aspect of like business, every different industry has their own challenges. Mm-hmm. But I think across all industry, everyone's probably facing an issue of like manpower or the labor in general. Mm-hmm. I think having the right people to do the job, mm-hmm. having the people that are willing to do the job, it's something that we are very concerned about. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, what we gotta always remember, as if let's say you're doing like a employee employer kind of relationship, is what you have to think of, is that you gotta value your staff. You know, because I think over time, when I started doing this, I realized that they are your backbones. Mm-hmm. They're your backbone. So, like, you got to really focus on them and you got to make it a way that they are really important to the company. So, I think in relevance to that, it's when they do feel that way, they will also feel that they are very important to the company and they will probably value it more. Mm. Yeah, so I think that's always like how we should actually bring up this type of companies. But at the end of the day, it's not really something that everyone would want to adapt to, you know. But something that I myself try to go towards too and have a little bit of empathy, because I think it does go a long way. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ahmad, have you ever failed in any business before?
I would say fail.
There are many ways to look at failure.
Yeah, there are many ways.
Choosing to quit something that's not working is not necessarily failure. You just know that it's not going to work anymore. You move on, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's also mainly because, you know, you have that ego that you always feel that it's always going to work, and then you don't want it to fail. So that's why you keep pushing through, and then you just go into like this black hole.
Yeah,
you know. But at the end of the day, it's something that I feel that it's your decision, your choice. You know, like I always try to do things without having regrets, because I always believe at one point of time you felt like that was something that you really wanted to do, and you probably didn't have any regrets at that point of time.
Yeah,
so the only way why you would feel that way after that is because you realize that it's not gonna work out. So I mean, you can just basically sum up and say that there's no really such thing as failures. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always, I will always say that's probably why you're successful now, because you probably learned from that failure. Mm. Yeah.
So much wisdom from your brother.
Wow, Nor, right. And he's younger than me, man. Wise boy, I'm proud of you.
Nice, nice. Yeah.
He's blushing now. So.
Yeah.
Okay, Nor, anything else you want to ask him?
Yeah, so, you know, you've been through all these. So you started out, you know, your business about 25-ish, right? Now you're like 30. Right,
oh,
so fast
yeah.
forward 2021. Yeah. Welcome to the 30s club, man. Yeah. So 2021, right? So it's been a number of years since you started, you know, this journey. How do you think this journey compared to when you first started? How do you think it has evolved?
Like in terms of like F&B or
like you know, on a personal journey.
Oh,
right? How do
right.
you see yourself when you look in a mirror? You see yourself in a mirror today compared to Ahmad, maybe like, I don't know, 25, 24. What's the difference?
Like 20 kg heavier. And then other than that, I think in terms of like...
That's a consequence of being in F&B.
F&B, right? Yeah.
Makan.
Exactly. So I think, okay, maybe other than that, it's a happy weight. It's happy weight, right? So I feel like I've grown in a way to become a little bit more independent. You know, I mean, looking back, I do realize that last time I had this, I wouldn't say issue, but it's more of like conformity issue, I guess. You know, like doing, I don't really like to do things alone. I basically have a group of people, or maybe like a person with me, or, you know, a group of people to do things with me. Having like the conformity where when I'm doing things, people be like, yeah, that's a good thing. You know, do that. We like the idea. So, with that in mind, right, the only thing that I feel like now, I feel that it isn't very good, because there are a lot of things that I felt like could have gone better that if I would have to go through it my way. But because I had to have that pressure of like wanting people to agree with me, wanting everyone to like feel that it's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that kind of makes me regret on certain things that I think I could have done better. Yeah, so it's just a work in progress lot. You know, over time, you will just probably feel that having that conformity is safe. But maybe
it's not going to help you grow.
It's not going to help you grow.
Yeah.
I mean, when I read up the biographies of some of the great entrepreneurs and even watch some of their movies, right, when they tell the stories, they are mavericks, right? And and they don't care what other people say. And they are not liked. They might be liked in the public space because, oh, this successful person.
Yeah.
But then internally, they may not be. Because they make a lot of unpopular decisions. But they believe they need to. They're not desperately needing other people to like them or agree with them all of the time. But it's that balance with what you said earlier about ensuring that even if they don't agree with you, you still take care of them. They're your team. They're your partners and things like that, right?
Yeah. So it seems that, you know, I think being a business person yourself, there is like a lot of inner things that you have to kind of juggle all at the same time in terms of your values as a person, you know, you being this public self, this businessman. So all these different, you know, selves that you are trying to manage all at the same time. And have you, you know, found yourself at a point where you felt like really overwhelmed, you know, having to listen to all these different voices, just like, you know, pulling you in different directions?
All the time. I think at this point in time, when I started out the business, I felt very overwhelmed because it felt like a lot of things I had to micromanage, a lot of things I have to look after, and literally everything that I feel that could have gone wrong had gone wrong, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just not that feeling that you want to have when you do business, because if you're going to just strive through, you're going to really do it wholeheartedly and all the way. You don't want to just like do it halfway and just like, hey, I'm not going to do it anymore, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
Overwhelming, that overwhelming feeling, it's for sure going to happen, right? But it's more of like how you want to like try to meditate and just like, you know, close your eyes for a bit and say like, look, it's going to be okay. It's just going to pass.
Yeah.
But it's just how you want to go through it and how you get out of it. It's something that's more important, because if you do get out of it, then you'll definitely come out stronger.
Yeah. You know, you talked a lot about, I think the things that you talked about mainly it has to do with having a strong mind, a resilient mind, right? And that, you know, going through all these experiences hands-on, firsthand, right? You get to experience for yourself what are the things that work for you, what doesn't work, and what you should be going more towards. So, you know, all of this, it shapes who you are today. It shapes the person you are today, your mindset, your view of yourself and the world. You know, what do you think has made that change of this powerful, empowering view possible today? You know, other than in the inner self transformation, when you go through all these introspection, were there like, you know, external factors that you think played a role, you know, in shaping the you that you see today?
I would think the feeling of, it's just like mixed feelings, you know, like I think feelings of like insecurity, feeling of the feelings of like creating a legacy, that kind of thing. So that kind of pressure that you have on yourself, and then, you know, like daily when you wake up, you know, you just keep telling yourself like, what's the like a reason to live? You know, you're not gonna wake up and just like carry on like this job that you hate and all that. You know, there's something more to life. So that's why when I wake up, I always kind of have this like a default mentality to wake up and always tell myself like, look, hey, you're here for a reason. There's something that you have to do to try to change the world. Everything that you do will probably have an impact, right? So that's why I think I always like to heavily talk about like empathy, because I think being empathetic kind of actually helps a lot in terms of, I mean, other than yourself, but the people around you, you know? So if everyone actually do have a little bit of empathy, right, then everything would just, I believe everything would just be better. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what I hear you say is that the environment, you know, an empathetic environment, an environment that understands and connects with what you're going through, it really helps you through the things that you need to go through on a daily basis, right? And, you know, I find that, you know, for individuals out there who, you know, are struggling to kind of make sense in terms of what sort of career direction or even like life direction that they should be heading towards, I feel that tapping on the external resource, it is super duper important. You know, like, yes, you know, you can do the whole meditation and read self-help books, Yeah, those are resources that you can tap on. But at the same time, there's like external resources out there, platforms, avenues, people that you can go to, you can connect with. And, you know, one example, if I may give, you know, at Workforce Singapore, they have the Volunteer Career Advisors Initiative, mm-hmm. which really, you know, allows individuals to receive that peer support, you know, that career advice from industry professionals themselves, mm. which will help to navigate them through, you know, the career directions, the career pathways. And I think it's great that they have, you know, such an initiative, you know, where people can just, you know, talk to, seek their advice. And it's something that covers a whole lot of industries, like, for example, the accountancy, the electronics, mm. ICT, retail, right? So, you know, for listeners out there, if you are seeking for, you know, a professional to talk to connect with, someone who's been there, done that, right? You know, tap on this particular, you know, resource platform and, yeah, use that. Yeah. Use that to your advantage.
And it's available for all Singaporean citizens and permanent residents. And once again, I guess you guys need to really check out right now the website sgunitedjobsandskills.sg to learn more about all the things that we're mentioning in today's episode, okay? Don't miss out.
Absolutely.
Okay, Ahmad, thank you so much for your sharing so far. It's been really interesting. I hope our listeners are also gaining some knowledge and also getting a bit more wisdom listening to you and all the experiences that you've gone through, right? I have a question. What do you think are the key things to work on in order for one to be a person who is resilient? I mean, we spoke about how COVID impacted everything. Like, a lot of people had to close their businesses. I'm sure you know of some as well. Mm. But what makes a person bounce back in times of hardship, difficulty, unexpected circumstances? What do you think are the key ingredients that make a person resilient compared to somebody who's going to throw in the towel the moment things begin to look like they're going south? You know, what do you think?
Right. This one's a little bit tough, just got to be really straight out there, right? I always feel that career resilience, or in terms of a business aspect, I think what is more important is yourself. I always believe that yourself as a person is actually the greatest asset. So you can have a business that crumble, you could get retrenched and all that, but at the end of the day, if you invest a lot on yourself, then you are like the greatest asset.
That's so true.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just like you set up the whole business, you made the business grow, you scaled the business. And if the business crumbled, you just got to pick yourself up again and do it again, mm-hmm. you know, because you did it. You mm-hmm. did it once, you can do it again. So there are, you know, like, this is a thing that actually really drives me up every day to how I am today, because I always like to listen to stories where people start from nothing mm-hmm. and then they grow the business. And then now, you know, they're like, financially independent or financially free, you know. But that's the story that I like to listen to. But the story that I really love to listen is those that actually start something and then they fail so badly and then they pick themselves up and then they grew it back even bigger, you know. So these are the things that actually really drives me, and these are the people that I really that basically really motivates me to do better, you know. Yeah,
because those people prove that it's not the business. The business can crumble, can fail, can diminish. But it's you. You're the asset.
Yeah.
You've invested in yourself. Mm-hmm. You've learned. You've gone trainings. You've experienced stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is what you need. The mm-hmm. mindset, the attitude that you've developed over mm-hmm. the years. You can always recreate whatever. You can always find another job, even if you lost one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned about being resilient and to adapt to the environment. Like COVID was a really very good example. You mm-hmm. know, like a lot of things that used to work just didn't work. Right now, and then people had to really adapt to the change of career, change of environment, you know, pick up new skills. But that's life, right? Because that is when everyone realized that, you know, it's something that we have to adapt, we have to change, you know. And like you say, because the thing is about Singapore, like what I really love about it is because we have a lot of ways and mediums to actually go to do that change, you know. So that's, I feel we're very lucky in a way. We're not heavily impacted from COVID compared to the rest. Yeah. So I think in general, we're quite blessed. So we just use this as like a very good example and then also maybe take this into like an advantage to scale, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful. I think really, really wise words, you know, talking about the importance of perspective, right? The importance of putting the self first. When you realize that you are in a good space, when your mind is able to, you know, handle and navigate through even the toughest of storms, you can be given like really, you know, crappy experiences. Mm. But when your mind is like, ooh, yeah, I can do this, you know, nothing will bring me down. Mm. You can bulldoze through anything in life.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's something that I grew to learn, and something that I always tell myself is, like, not to look for, like, an instant gratification. Actually, I tell, like, a lot of people the same thing, or when they ask me about it, because I think what you need to do is always think about the long term and not about all the
short-term gains.
Yeah, the short-term gains, right? I mean, it feels good, but it probably will only last you for a while, and then you have to go for the next big thing, that kind of thing. So I think that's something that you want to look into, especially when you talk about being, like, resilience, progression of your career. I mean, there are a lot of easy ways to do things, but I always try not to go through that way. Like, the only way that you will probably only, like, grow or be a better version of yourself is to go through all these hardships, and then you will come out smarter. Yeah, so I think that's how I see myself over the years when I started to do business, right? Like, a lot of things that I felt like could have been done much better if I had the knowledge that I had now. But I mean, that's probably you when you realize that, oh, okay, yeah, I did grow a little bit smarter, right? Yeah. So I think maybe like 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, I'll probably look at myself now and be like, hey, you know, a lot of things could have done better, you know? So that's probably part and parcel of, like, you know, life growing up, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow.
Okay, so before we release you from this episode, he's contained now in this room. He can't leave. I have to ask one question. It's not in this list of questions, but I can't let you go because you're Noor's brother, so I need to ask you something about Noor.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Noor has no idea I'm going to ask this.
Oh, my great, gosh. Great. Not planned at all.
But, you know, I mean, Noor has been my co-host for almost 2 years now, the Good Life Podcast. So I want to know from you, someone who grew up with her, what were some qualities that you admire about her as your big sister?
Ooh,
that you
gosh.
Love about her?
I love this question.
Oh, really? Okay, okay.
From the heart.
From my heart, right?
From the heart. From my
heart.
Yeah. You know something about my sister that I feel that is she's... Yeah, you know, I talk a lot about empathetic, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's a really empathetic person. And the thing is, she always like to put people... First, right? Always put people first, like people's feelings and all that. So she would honestly really go all out for anybody. But I always tell her, like, try not to, because, you know, you gotta really learn how to be a little bit selfish sometimes. You know, because, I mean, you can be good to people, but there are certain people that you can't, because people will just take advantage of you. But it's life, right? So, but growing up with her was, it's just more like the sister that you want, because, you know, I can always, like, take advantage of her and get things out of her, you know? Like, she's always the fall the person that I fall
takes
to
the fall.
Yeah, takes the fall for anything. And then she just be like, okay, you know, and then you just buy her, like, some food, you know, and then she's like, okay, wait, no grudge. Right? So I mean at the end of the day, it's like, always I emphasize a lot on family, right? So that's one of the main drivers for, like, success. I think even for her as well, like, always put your family first. I mean, maybe some people don't really have that family to grow up with, but it's fine, you know. That's why I always try to group yourself with people that really motivates you, or like, basically hang around people that drives you to be that person that you want to be, you know. I mean it's good to have, like, idols, you know, you're good to have all that, but at the end of the day, it's just like you'll definitely never be like them, you know, but you can be somewhat of a better version of yourself that is similar to them, or somewhat like a person that people would look up. It's just like a cycle, you know. Like, I probably look up at somebody, and somebody will probably look up to me, and that person will probably look up to that person, that kind of thing. So it's always a way that, you know, you always have to, like, motivate everyone, the people below you, above you, I don't know, you know. You just gotta let them know, like, you know, you just gotta keep going. And even if, like, times are going very bad, right, there's always gonna be a better time, as long as you persevere and go through it, you know. It's gonna be okay eventually. Yeah,
so you know, she's gone through a lot, and now she's doing her master's.
Yeah.
And then she has this going on.
Yeah.
Are you proud of her?
Yeah, super. Right, but I mean, I can't really, like, tell her. Right, you know.
Oh my god, this is like the first time. You know, yeah. I rarely
so,
hear
so
this.
So it's just like, you know, like you're just proud, but you just don't want to say it, you know, because you're gonna be like that, the hard love. Is that what they call that?
Tough love. Strong brother.
It's the Asian thing, la.
Yeah, it's just the Asian thing, la. Tough love, right? Like, you're just, like, low key, very proud, you know. So when you do something well, then, like, a small tear will just drop on my head. But then I'm like, then suck it up. Yeah. But I think that's good, you know. Like, low key, I think in general, we are, like, proud of you. At the end of the day, because we have our own goals, you know, and I'm very proud that, you know, we all can just, like, especially you can just, like, focus on what you want, and eventually we'll get to that, la. You know?
Trauma.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, no worry.
Sorry I surprised you with that.
No, it's okay. No, it's okay, it's okay. Yeah. So I think how what I learned a lot from her is just, you know, she taught me about like what success is really about. You know, like I always talk about success, like, oh, making money and that kind of thing, financial freedom. But I think what she really instilled a lot to me was, it's about being happy. Mm. You know, it's about being happy and it's about sharing it with everyone, you know. I think it goes a long way, especially when, you know, we are going to be here for like quite a while, right? Mm. So having people around you, having positive people around you, it's something that will get you through a long way. Yeah, so that's why I really feel.
It's true. Yeah. Awesome. Beautiful.
Oh my God.
Any quick response from you, Noor?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, like, I think we were brought up in a family where we aren't very open, right, about expressing our emotions. And I think hearing that in detail, like, I was like, oh my God, this is like too much for me to handle. So much goodness and nice words. And it's nice to just, you know, hear from, you know, your family, how much they appreciate you.
True.
You know, how much you are worthy, you're beautiful and you're amazing. And, you know, to our listeners out there, right? You know, if you have been going through, you know, tough times where you find yourself questioning whether, you know, am I good enough, you know, to even, you know, apply for whatever job that is out there? Am I good enough to do this or to do that? If you have not heard those words that you are good enough, we want you to know that you are, regardless of what you have been through in your past, regardless of whatever setbacks and failures, you are good enough, right? Because you are beautifully human. You will make mistakes. You will fall down. You know, you will face setbacks, but it's okay. You know, like what, you know, my brother shared, you will go through all these setbacks and hardships in life, but it's not those setbacks and hardships that make and define you. Right? It's not a number of times that you actually fall down, but it is those number of times that you give yourself the permission to pick yourself back up again each time you fall down that matters a whole lot more.
That's so true. All right. Thank you, Ahmad, for being our guest today. It's an honor to have you here. I heard many good things about you. Finally, I get to see you in person. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Workforce Singapore, WSG. It's a stat board under the Ministry of Manpower, MOM, and it helps individuals meet their career aspirations and secure quality jobs. Strengthens inclusiveness of workforce in the face of change. To find out more, visit www.wsg.gov.sg. That's www.wsg.gov.sg. Or call them at the hotline at 6-883-5885. That's 6-883-5885.
Yeah, thank you so much, Workforce Singapore, for sponsoring this awesome episode. And thank you to my beautiful, awesome, wise, amazing brother of mine, Ahmad, for, you know, sharing your nuggets of wisdom with our community. I'm sure, you know, it's something that they benefit a whole lot. And I hope to our listeners out there, you enjoyed this episode as well. Feel free to share it with your loved ones if you found it beneficial. You know, share with us your insights as well on our Instagram. Follow us, the Good Life_podcast, where you'll get amazing motivational, you know, quotes, write-ups, and just, you know, being part of this growing digital online community, right? We love having you part of it. So thank you once again for your beautiful time in listening all the way through. We can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. In the meantime, you guys, be bold, be beautiful, and see the amazing you that you are. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.